The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good and Jesus is Lord. Man, it's so good to be with you all tonight. What a privilege and honor to be with you once again. Jesus is Lord, and we are going to have a great time on the radio tonight. Tonight is a show you don't want to miss. We are so honored to have the most special guest we've ever had on this show. And I'm telling you, I am just overfilled with joy and excitement of what God is going to do tonight. And I'm excited to introduce those of you that don't know this man of God. And so what I want you to do right now is give us a like, give us a share. Go ahead and grab this link and share it with your friends. Let folks know we are live tonight with our very own, my spiritual father, Bishop Keith A. Butler. And man, I'm telling you, I am so excited. We're not going to do the normal what we normally do tonight. We're going to get right to the bishop because I want you to get every ounce of anointing and wisdom from this man of God. I would not be here today without Bishop Butler. Literally, I would not be here. And I'm just so excited. Now, you know, we thank God for the man. We thank God for what God is doing in the man. But at the end of the day, we give God all the glory. And of course, Bishop Butler taught me that. Praise God. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to our very special guest tonight, my spiritual father, the founder of Word of Faith International Christian Center in Toronto, Ontario, the founder of Keith Butler Ministries, the founder of Word of Faith International Christian Center, the founder of Faith for Life, the founder of churches all over the world is with us tonight. And Bishop Butler, what an honor to have you with us, sir.
Well, Pastor Ward, it's an honor to be with you and your wonderful audience tonight.
Praise God. We're going to have a great time. I am just so excited. We are here to feed their faith and starve their doubts. You know, I'll never forget when you installed me here in Toronto back in 2004. You introduced my wife Cheryl and I to the congregation, and you said, "They will feed your faith and starve your doubts." And with your help, we've been doing it ever since. Praise the Lord.
Oh, absolutely. Amen. You've been doing a good job at it, too.
Praise God. So tell us, sir, a little bit about God has had you. You've been in the ministry for how many years now?
46 years.
46 years. And you planted Word of Faith in Detroit. You planted the church in Georgia. You planted the church in Arizona. You've planted churches in Michigan and Florida. These are just a few that I can think of off the top of my head. But over the last few years, over the last decade, God has had you reach out to the nations and really put in your heart that is your mission field at this time. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Lord's had us in the time that we've been involved. Plant churches in 13 states in the United States. Some of the states have more than one or two or even as many as four churches in one state, but in 13 U.S. states and six nations around the world. And of course, even one in Canada there in Toronto with one Pastor Ward. We also have Bible schools in Greece, Bible schools in South Africa. Of course, we have the Bible school in the United States. We're ministering in English and in French and in Greek and in Russian right now. Praise God. We're working on adding Spanish to that as well and adding other languages until we can talk to everyone around the world one way or other. So we do it online with Bible schools. We do it online with churches, do it online with just online teaching, depending on which language we're talking about. And the Lord has given us an assignment, particularly to Europe and Africa outside the United States. But you come along where the Lord gave me instructions to plant churches in urban areas across America. And we've done that.
That's awesome. So now we here as a church, we support with our tithes. Our church is a tithing church. I really believe churches are to be tithing church. I think of Hebrews chapter 7, where he says that not only did Levi pay tithes, but that not only did they pay tithes to Levi, but Levi also paid tithes. And so what do you think about that? Shouldn't churches also be tithing churches?
Well, Levi paid tithes, of course. And of course, the scripture tells us that tithing is something that we do as an individual. A church is an organism, okay. An organization. And so I think that's something that's really up to that organization. Now, let me say this, though, however. Anytime you plant, there is harvest.
Praise God.
And so any church that consistently plants and tithing would be a consistent planting. Amen. It's going to have consistent harvest that comes to it. And you'll wind up being like our ministry is, which is we're debt free. We don't have any debt. We don't have anything. We have debt with us personally. So I want you to know, if you want to have a debt-free ministry, that might be something you might want to look at.
Absolutely. I believe that 100%. I believe that there's, you know, Malachi chapter 3 says that there are tithers' rights and that there are rights that belong to the tither. You know, sometimes people say, you know, we're not under the curse. But in Malachi, he says that if you're not a tither, he says you're cursed with a curse.
Yeah, it says because you robbed me of this whole nation. Hebrews, of course, 7 tells us the tithes in the New Testament, but the first tithe was in the Garden of Eden. That's the very first tithe. Amen. Something that God said, that tree don't belong to you, long belong to me, but I'll put it in your domain.
Wow.
Okay, but don't you touch it.
Wow.
Of course, so that was the first tithe. And of course, that showed up with his son, one son doing it and the other not. And we all know the story that comes from there. God has always had seed time and harvest as a way in which to operate, because he does it himself. For God so loved he gave. Jesus was once the only begotten Son of God, but not anymore. Since he planted Jesus, he's the firstborn of many brethren, billions and trillions of brethren. God worked it first, and we'll do good by emulating God.
Hallelujah. You have a great book. It's been around for decades now. Brother Kenneth Hagin endorsed it, called A Seed Will Meet Any Need. And I really want to encourage folks to check out all of the books and materials that are available. You can go to keithbutler.org, keithbutler.org, and there's an e-store there. Now, if you're in Canada, you can also go to keithbutler.ca. And all the information is there. In just a moment, we're going to start talking about one of Bishop's books, which is one of the newer releases. And The Five Elements of Faith is available at keithbutler.org. I actually downloaded it just this afternoon. And so you can get it. It's only $4.99. You can download it. And he's got so much information on there. And I encourage you, A Seed Will Meet Any Need is a really powerful resource that'll help you understand how seed. Bishop doesn't say seed time and harvest. He says seed, time, and harvest. Praise God. And there's a process involved. The prosperity of the kingdom of God always works. Do you want to say anything about that, sir?
Well, of course, I've actually said some just a minute ago.
Yeah.
Because anytime you emulate God,
yeah,
you do what God does, the way God did it, you will get God-like results.
I think we lost him. Oh, there he is, coming back.
All right.
Go ahead, sir. We lost you for a second. Sorry about that.
Okay, sure. So again, what we found, and reason why the Lord had me write the book, was that there are people who planted seed in one area and had manifestation in many areas. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and it talks about if you give much, you receive much, give little, receive little. Every man is decides in his heart, so let him give. Then it goes on to say, and then God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you all the time have all sufficiency in all things that you may abound to every good work. So he's all is mentioned three times in that particular scripture. And what does all mean? Everything.
Everything.
How much is left after all?
Nothing.
So what he told you was, if you knew what the grace of God was, and the grace of God, which is a gift, but the grace of God is ultimately the manifestation of God's power at your point of need. And it was triggered by giving.
Wow. So without the giving, if there's nothing that is sown, then there's nothing to harvest.
Absolutely. Every farmer knows this. Wow. I don't care how much you may want it, how much you may desire it, how much you dance on top of the soil. If you don't plant some seed, cannot get a harvest.
Wow. You know,
you can pray all day, but if you don't plant seed, you still won't get a harvest.
You know, there's so many. And I know when I came to Christ, I kind of had this understanding that the kingdom of God was magic. You know, that if you prayed, that something would just magically happen. And I had faith, so I thought, to believe God to do anything. And yet I realized that things weren't happening when I just prayed, and that there was more to understand in the scripture. There was more to understand about walking by faith. One of the things I found in your first chapter of The Elements of Faith is about really what faith is. And so many times, I don't think people that are born again, at least when they first start out being a Christian, understand what faith is. They think that they just don't really know what faith is until they're taught what faith is. So why don't you just give us a basic understanding of what is faith?
First of all, let me say, because since you have people from all over the world, when we use the term faith, we're not talking about any organism. We're not talking about whether or not you're Catholic or Episcopal or Methodist or any other organism. When we talk about faith, the word faith is the word pistis from the Greek.
Yes.
It means trust and confidence, okay, assurance and belief. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6. Said that without trust and confidence and belief in God, it's not possible to please him.
It says,
he that comes to God or approaches God must not only believe that God is, but that he rewards those who seek him in a diligent fashion. And so faith ultimately is the total belief in God Almighty, who he is, what he has said, and what he can do.
Wow. You know, one example you give in your book is about your grandchildren and your children. You've got seven grandchildren and you've got three children, and they call you, your grandchildren call you Papa. And for example, if they ask Papa for a swim in the pool or a glass of milk, You know, how does that example relate to our relationship with receiving from God?
Well, my grandchildren don't have to beg me, you know. In fact, I'll tell you about, you know, the ones old enough to understand this. Let me tell you what they do. They ask and they automatically expect they're going to receive, period.
Wow.
In fact, they approach without any hesitation whatsoever. And it's like the scripture said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us come boldly. That's how my grandkids come, to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help you when you need it. That come bold is what we're talking about with my children and grandchildren.
Mm.
And that's where you can be with God. And the first thing that God will always grant you when you come to him is mercy.
Mm.
And the word mercy means compassion, elos in the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion, praise God. Someone at a higher rank looking at someone at a lower rank who will treat them in such a fashion, praise God, that they will accept them regardless to who they are and what they may have. And that grace, again, is really defined. You want to define grace? You can define it in that verse, to help you in your time of need.
Wow.
Grace will assist you when you need it.
Wow.
So when you come to God, just believing that one, as far as he's concerned, he will receive you and mercy has been extended to you, regardless of your background.
Wow.
And praise God, then after that, he said, I will provide you help where you need it most.
Mm.
Believe that.
Mm. Hallelujah. You know, if your grandkids mess up, you're not going to beat them up for messing up. You're going to help them, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. They're my grandkids. But let me tell you something I would like them to do, though.
Yeah.
I would like them to acknowledge that they're sinning, confess it. You know, I messed up. 1 John 1:9 says, if we acknowledge our sin to God, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Read written Christians. And he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, you know, when you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness, you drop the un. What are you,
right? That's right.
Right, standing with God again. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and that battle in the mind, you know, faith, persuasion, confidence, having that understanding on the inside, it's not something you're trying to find. It's something you know. How do you get to that place as a Christian, especially when you've messed up so many times? I know, you know, my history, I came from a drug addiction background, and I know there's others that have had issues with drugs and alcohol and other things that have really made an impact on them physically and emotionally and mentally. How do you get to a place where that no longer is a hindrance to you knowing that you're righteous?
Let's go back, John, to the very elements of faith, which I hope will help us get to answer that question.
Excellent.
There are five elements to faith.
Yes.
First, I'm going to tell you what they are and then how they work.
Okay.
They are hearing, receiving, believing, speaking, and acting or action. Well, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing, which means it's not a one-time hearing. You hear this again and again and again. In fact, everything you believe, let me tell you why you believe it, because you heard it repetitively, whether it's the news media or whether or not they taught you something in school, but whatever you hear repetitively again and again and again, you come to a place where you begin to believe it. Well, the first one, faith comes by repetitively hearing the word of God. Secondly is receiving. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Why receive? Because you can reject.
Amen.
You can hear the word and go, nah, I'm not receiving that.
Right.
So one is hear it.
Okay.
Then receive it. Then once you made a decision to receive, okay, I'm open up to this. Then you can do something from your heart, which is believe it.
Okay.
See, belief is of the heart.
Amen.
It comes from a decision. It's how you were born again, Romans 10:9. If thou shalt acknowledge with your mouth Jesus as the highest authority, believe in your heart God's raising from the dead. Believe in your heart God's raising from the dead. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth acknowledgement is made unto your deliverance or salvation. So first is hear, second is receive, third is to believe, the force to speak that which you believe. Again, if you got born again, says, what does it say in Romans 10, 9 and 10 when you got born again? Thou shalt confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, acknowledgement is made unto salvation, Romans 10, 10. And then the final one is acting. This is the one that people fail on the most, is acting. Because they'll do the other four and not do this one after they have been taught. Amen. And number four is acting. James 1, 22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So you can deceive yourself if you don't act, if you don't follow through, if you don't act like it's so. Now, to answer your question about how do you get to a place where you forgive yourself, well, you go to the word and find out, first of all, hear what it says. It says that God forgave you when you asked in 1 John 1, 9. Then you make a decision to receive that. Okay, he's offering that to me. Then you make the heart decision. Well, he can't lie. So if he said he forgives me, then I believe it in my heart. Say it with your mouth. I am forgiven. And then go forward with the rest of your life as though sin has never been, because he said it. The more you hear what he said repetitively, the more you put yourself in this position. Now, there's a person here in Mark chapter 5 that really illustrates all five, I think, very well. And it's a woman in Mark chapter 5, which says a certain woman. And anytime the scripture uses the term certain, it means this is not a parable.
Right.
Okay. This woman actually lived.
Amen.
In fact, I've even been to the region where this woman comes from.
I've been there with you.
I know you have. Amen. And it said a certain woman was had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, remember back in Jesus' day, a woman that had a constant hemorrhage of blood was considered to be unclean.
Yes,
so you were not allowed to be out in the public. You were not allowed to socialize. You're considered to be cursed, all sorts of things. The end of the story is important because in verse 34, it tells you the end of the story. And Jesus is going to say to this woman, daughter, thy faith
has made you whole.
Has made you whole. Your pistis, that Greek word, your trust, your confidence, your assurance, your belief has made you whole. That's the end of it. But between the story starting in verse 25 and how it ended, what happened? Well, let's continue with the story. It says here that she had the issue of blood 12 years. And verse 26 said she suffered many things of many doctors. And then she spent all the money that she had. And instead of getting better, she lost all the money that she had. Now she's got two problems. Not only is she broke, but she's also sick. So she's got two problems now. Amen. Well, the word goes on to say in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, remember faith comes by hearing and hearing. Now, I guarantee you this woman had family, friends, and you know Jesus was famous. So she heard repeatedly again and again about his exploits, who he was, what he did, all of that. And it brought something to her mind. What came to her mind was the teaching of the word she had received in the synagogue all her life. In the synagogue in Malachi chapter 4, it said over there that when the Messiah comes, that there would be healing in the border of his prayer shawl or border of his clothes. Amen. So when she heard of Jesus, she came behind and said in the press and touched his clothes, for she said, so she heard. She obviously received because she's going to start to speak. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And notice she doesn't say I'll be healed. Her problem was not just that she was sick.
Right.
Her problem was also that she's now broke.
Amen.
It says she spent all that she had and was nothing better, but it grew worse. And she said, if I can touch the border of that prayer shawl, I'll be whole. It says straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and she was healed in her body of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone up, gone out about him, turned about and said, who touched my clothes? Now, remember that woman, she said, she heard, she received. She obviously believed. Let me tell you what faith will do and belief in heart will do. When you believe something in your heart, it'll move your feet to action.
Amen.
See, this woman, if she comes out here amongst the crowd, being unclean, she puts herself in mortal danger.
Right.
She could be arrested. She could be stoned. Worse. Things could happen under her. So obviously she made a decision to believe enough that it moved her feet. And she believed and received enough that she said, now the actual Greek says, she said this again and again. She said it again and again. Soon as I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Soon as I touch it, I'll be whole. Soon as I touch it, I'll be whole. And that's what she's telling herself when she's walking through that crowd and people are looking at her. What you doing here? So we're talking about small towns. Mm-hmm. People knew one another. Okay. What are you doing here? She's saying to herself as she keeps walking, soon as I touch him, I'll be whole. Soon as I touch him, I'll be whole. And every time she says it, she strengthens her faith. Every time she takes a step, she strengthens her faith. Praise God, all the time. Well, she finally sneaks up behind Jesus. If you read this text, she sneaks up behind him, okay? And she touches the hem of his garment. And power is released out of his pressure into her body and heals her body instantly. Stops Jesus in his caravan, who was on the way to minister to somebody else's house. Amen. And just think about what this woman went through. Ladies, if you listen, the ladies will know. If a woman's had a constant bleed for 12 years, how strong physically is this woman?
She's weak.
Extraordinarily
iron's
weak.
Iron's low. Yeah.
Okay, everything's weak, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to drag her emaciated body. And if you've ever been in the crowd, which I have been, where people are desperate, trying to get to one focal point, they'll step on one another. They'll fight one another. It is difficult. Somehow, this woman persevered. That's another side thing about faith. Perseverance will come with it. Amen. She persevered until she got to that line, touched the hem of his garment. That power came out of Jesus and stopped the caravan. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching me. He said, no. Somebody touched me and power went out of me. Power didn't go out from him to anybody else, just this woman. There was something this woman had everybody else didn't have. What was it?
Faith.
Everybody else tried it.
Confidence.
Everybody else was, you know, trying to get there. They didn't really believe. They wanted to see that it happened. They hoped it might happen. This woman believed, if I could touch the hem, I'll be whole. Jesus then turned around looking for who did this. And it says here, then the woman, fearing and trembling, fell down before Jesus and told him all the truth. Then she gives him the whole 12-year testimony. I can imagine this woman. And she said, 12 years ago, I went to see a doctor so-and-so. And this is what happened to me. And my husband left because I could no longer, you know, and my children, I could no longer take care of them. She told the whole story. She lost all her money, you know, all this stuff. Jesus is patiently, you know, he's love. He's patiently listening to all she said. And then he says to her, daughter, your faith. He didn't say my power, although we know it was his power.
Right.
But he said, your faith has made you. And then he used her words. Your faith has made you whole.
Wow.
Go in shalom. Go in peace. Nothing messing or broken. And be whole of thy plague. So not only did Jesus tell her, yeah, you've been healed physically, but your money problem is also now going to be handled. Five elements were there: hearing, receiving, believing, speaking, acting. I love this story.
Awesome. You know, one thing you said that really hit me is that she believed enough to forsake everything to get to the hem of his garment. I actually have a tallit right here. I don't know if you saw me holding it up.
And, I saw.
and here is the prayer shawl. Jesus would have had these tzitzits on the end of his garment, which represents the 613 commandments in the Torah. And when she touched him, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, she touched the Word of God, and her faith in the Word of God made her whole. But the thing that hit me when you said it is that she believed enough to run after the word of God and not let anything stop her.
When you really believe, number five will happen. That's okay. Action.
Ah.
And so you have people who think they're in faith. They'll have 1 through 4, but not 5.
Wow. The missing ingredient.
That's the missing ingredient. And that's usually where people stumble, because any real faith, complete faith act, has all 5 elements.
Now, I know some people are asking themselves, well, you know, that's all nice, Bishop, but how come it works for some people, but it doesn't work for other people?
Because they done 4 elements, 3 elements, 2 elements, 1 element. The people that do all 5 have it work. There's no failure in the word of God. It works.
Come on.
Amen. But people are always looking to blame their failures on somebody else. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, it works for everyone who puts it to work. All things are possible to him that believeth. Mark 9:23. Not some people.
That's right.
Not some things.
Come on.
To him that believeth. So if it don't work for you, instead of looking outward, look inward and find out which one of the 5 am I missing.
I like to say, you know, people say God can do anything he wants, but that's not true. There's one thing God cannot do. God cannot lie. So if he said
cannot cross his word, right?
Come on.
He bound himself. No man bound him. But he bound himself by his word. He even said, I magnify my word above my word and my name above myself. In other words, praise God. You can't separate God and his word. His word is God and God is his word. Amen. His word doesn't fail. So when you say that the word failed, you say God failed. God can't fail.
Not possible. Praise God. Praise God. I may be jumping it too fast. I sometimes do that. I get excited. I don't know if we're ready to go to chapter 5 yet, but chapter 5 is Satan's plan to try to stop you. Are you ready to go there yet, or am I jumping the gun?
No, I can go there. So let's talk about Mark chapter 4 then, huh?
Yes, sir. I want to find out what is the biggest obstacle to my faith? What's the biggest obstacle that keeps me from receiving, from believing, from acting on God's word?
Okay. So if you go to the 4th chapter of the book of Mark,
yes, sir.
Jesus teaches what is the most important parable he is going to utter. And the reason why I say it is the most important parable is because of what he said out of his own mouth. He said in Mark 4:13, know ye not this parable? A parable is a short story to illustrate a point. He said, don't you know this parable? How then will you know all parables? In other words, that this one is the key to all of the short stories, all the parables. And the parables about what? Verse 14, the sower sows the word. And so the planter puts seed, and the seed he plants is the ground. This seed, the word, is planted into the ground of the human heart. So everyone here has number one. They hear the word, and some of them are going to receive the word. Now, Jesus, in this parable, talks about the things that stop people from becoming good ground, which is the individual that has ultimate success, manifestation of the word. Let's read further what he said, verse 15. These are they by the wayside or side of the road where the word is planted, but when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts, Jesus said. You say, well, so what happened here? What happened here was number two. They heard the word, but they didn't receive it. And since they didn't receive it, there was nothing else for Satan to do. All he had to do was walk away with it. So you have people who hear the word and they go, ah, no. Any word you hear and you don't accept it, you don't take it, you won't have it. Let's keep reading. He says in verse 16, these are they likewise, which mean in the same way, which means they also heard the word, which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, or one translation says, with a shout. They shouted about it. But they have no root in themselves. Now, the problem here was the word has no depth in them. So they heard it, and lots of people are like this. They hear the scripture, they get excited about it, they shout and dance, but that's all. They don't do the rest of it. They don't do Psalm 1, for example. The first Psalm says, you must meditate the word day and night. The person that meditates the word day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, will bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. God said to Joshua in a very difficult situation, he said, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You need to meditate it day and night that you may observe to do all that is written. Then you make your way prosperous and have good success. You see? And so they don't do anything except come to church to do say, but they don't do anything at home. It's not enough for you to go to church and hear the preacher. You then have to take that word home and meditate it, think about it, speak on it, envision how it affects your life, envision how I can act on it, praise God. And so they had a shout about it. It said they heard the word, I made to receive it with a shout, have no root in themselves. And so they last but for a little while. But when? Telipsis, the Greek word affliction. Affliction is pressure brought against you through all kinds of circumstance. It could be a litany of things. And if you know anything about Satan, Satan doesn't just hit you once. He hits you multiple times from multiple situations with affliction. So he'll pressure you with family. He'll pressure you with money. He'll pressure you with sickness and disease. He'll pressure you with your job. He'll pressure you. But he'll try and put pressure on you. What's the reason for the pressure? To get you to doubt the words you heard.
Wow. How do you know if it's God? Does God ever bring pressure?
Again, this gets to if you know the word. See, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why you have to know the word. If you know the word, then you will know what God does and what God doesn't. Part of another big problem is that people have very low teaching. That's why he said, even in the Old Testament,
My people
are destroyed in Hosea 4:6
yes,
for lack of knowledge. Okay, and that's a big problem. And I'm going to get further with this. Maybe I'll talk to you more about that. He said, but when affliction or persecution, now persecution is pressure brought against you through people specifically.
Amen.
And so specifically, he'll use family, other Christians, your boss, the government. He'll use whoever is a weak-minded individual to try and get the word out of you to do what? For what purpose? To try and get you to doubt the word. And note what the rest of this verse says, that it arises for the word's sake. So the reason why the affliction and persecution came to you was to try and get you to doubt the word. Immediately, they are offended. The word offended is scandalizo. Scandalizo means that they become people who back up, doubt, even get enticed to sin, all that withdraw, all that means. And so that pressure brought against you is to make you back up and go, oh, maybe it's not working. He's not done. Then Jesus says in verse 18, these are they which are sown among thorns. Well, they also hear the word and the cares of this world. Now, remember the word cares, the word distraction. So Satan couldn't knock you down with affliction. If he couldn't back you up with persecution, then he will change his methodology. And he'll try and get you a soft way. He'll try and distract you.
Amen.
Find something else to draw more of your attention to that. You spend more time with that than you do with the word. And that could be anything. That could be a person. That could be a place. It could be something as mundane as golf. Where you play so much golf, you spend more time playing golf than you're doing the word.
Amen.
It can be anything that you get in. You can be so involved in watching HGTV or something else that the word becomes secondary, thirdary, tertiary, or more. You see, and it becomes a distraction to you. Satan will use that, but Jesus is still not done. Then the next one he says, and the deceitfulness of riches. He didn't say riches. He said being deceived by them. Being deceived by them means that an individual thinks that riches are the answer to their problem. And money is not the answer to your problem.
No.
God is the answer to your problem. But you can become so focused on it that people will stop going to the church to hear the word in order to get the riches. And boy, is that backwards. Because the blessing of the Lord will make you rich and add no sorrow to it. And then finally, Jesus said, praise God, and the lust of other things, the word lust is an inordinate strong desire for anything. You just gotta have. And let me tell you, you don't have to have anything except God Almighty. Amen. Then Jesus makes an astonishing statement behind those things. He said, and entering in, it chokes the word and makes it unfruitful. The word choke means strangle the word and makes it non-productive meaning in that person's life. Okay. So either a person, so a person hears the word, but they don't receive it, you're out. Or Satan hits you with affliction or persecution, make you back up, distracts you. Mm-hmm. Gets you focused on the wrong area, or gets you to a place where lust destroys your life. All those things are tasks that Jesus does. Then verse 20, these are they which are on good ground. These are the productive ones. They hear the word. They receive that word. They bring forth fruit, or they hear, receive, believe, speak, and act. Because bring forth, of course, action. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Why some 30? Why some 60? Why some 100? Because people are at different levels in this. There are people in good ground. They're getting into it. They're good ground. They're not moved by any of Satan's attack. Amen. They just need more time for development. It gets bigger and bigger. Because if you keep reading later on in the same chapter, Jesus talked about he that has revelation will get more. Amen. And then here's the last one. Same parable Jesus is talking about. Let's get to verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, this is how things work in the kingdom. If a man should cast seed, we now know that's the word, into the ground, and he should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring up, he knoweth not how. Every farmer knows this. I mean, you don't have to have an agricultural degree in agricultural science in order to be a farmer.
Right.
All you need is seed, soil, water. And you know, even if you don't understand all the scientific stuff that goes with it, you know if you give it enough time, something's going to come up through the ground.
Amen.
And you have a chance for harvest. Amen. So Jesus said here, so if a man should cast seed into the ground, should sleep night and day, go to bed and get up, go to bed and get up, and the seed should spring up, and he don't know how it happened. You don't have to know how it happened. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the air. I call that the law of progression. Mm. And that is, praise God, you let the seed be in there long enough. You don't dig it up. Well, what will dig it up? Not receiving, yielding to affliction, yielding to persecution, getting deceived, and being distracted. Or just getting taken off where you got to have stuff that's not productive with God or the word. Amen. But if the individual stays with the word of God, he's telling you the word takes time. And in Hebrews 6:12, it says, follow them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Farmer knows this. You don't plant seed on Monday. And then Tuesday, you don't see anything come up and say, I guess this seed is no good. I guess it don't work. No, Jesus said he goes to bed, gets up, goes to bed, gets up, goes to bed, gets up. And if he does it long enough, one day something's going to come up through the ground, that green leaf. But it didn't start growing when he saw it.
Right.
It was growing when he didn't see it.
That's right.
See, so here's another problem for people.
Yeah.
Is that they immediately start to doubt. They don't give something enough time to work. The end result is then they say, oh, I guess it don't work. Jesus answered the question for him. Finally, he says, amen. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because harvest is here. harvest comes. So when you talk about answering your question, Jesus answered this for you, and I would tell your listeners, if there's any parables, I tell my churches, if there's any parable in the Bible you should know backwards and forward, it's the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. You'll also find it in Luke chapter 8 and Matthew 13.
Praise God. Praise God. Hey, amen. I'm taking notes here. You know, I had one question as you were talking. You know, normally when I'm listening to you preach, I don't get a chance to ask questions. So tonight is a great honor. Praise God. You were talking about the law of progression and not digging up your seed. Obviously, one of the main ways that what would be the main way that people would dig up their seed?
With your mouth.
With your mouth. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's, so your words are critically important when it comes to the seed in the ground.
No question about it. Your mouth is a sowing vehicle.
Wow.
And see, God worked that way. How did God create the planet?
Yeah.
God said repetitively, and it happened. Why did God change Abram's name to Abraham? Get his mouth to see, say what? I'm father of great multitude. Why he changed to Sarah, mother of great multitude's words. When you speak doubt and unbelief, what you are doing is planting negative seed.
Wow.
Or, and what many people have is mingled seed. Mm. In church, they speak words of faith. On the street, they speak words of doubt. Their seed is mingled. And so it's like a flower surrounded by weeds. It'll kill it.
Wow. Wow. So like the woman with the issue of blood, the word got sown in her heart. She believed the word. She received the word. She's acting on the word, and she's
and
on her
it.
And speaking the word continually. Mm-hmm. She kept saying and saying and saying. Mm-hmm. Now she's on her way. She's acting to the hem of his garment. But what would happen in that moment if she stopped, listened to the thoughts in her head, and she began to say, "I don't know if I can get healed"? Would
she would
have still
died.
Gotten healed?
She would have died broke.
So in other words, it's not about God's will to heal her. It's about her faith to receive what he already provided.
Yes. You see, God's already placed healing in the earth. He's already provided for you. I mean, Jesus came and bore, what does Isaiah 53 said? He bore your sickness and disease. With his stripes, you healed. Well, if he bore it, that means you don't bear it.
Come on.
If you're still bearing it, then he didn't bear it.
Wow.
Amen. That's why Peter, now, of course, Isaiah is prophesying about an event about 700 years in the future. Peter's looking back at something not that short period of time. And right. Peter, Isaiah says, with the stripes we are. But Peter looked back in 1 Peter 2:24, said, with the stripes you were healed, past tense. He said, you were healed then. That's not just true with physical health. That's true with everything. All the promises of God are yea. And God has already placed in the earth whatever you need, but you trigger it and receive it through faith. Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8 says what? It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, of course, it is the gift of God. Well, what happened? What grace again is? Grace is not, well, can I sin if I want to? That's a fallacy. That's not what grace is at all. That's a misteaching. Grace, one of the names of the Holy Spirit, New Testament name, Hebrews 10:29. He's called the Spirit of Grace.
Yes.
That's one of his names.
Yes.
Okay, amen. And so what happened was you heard the word, received the word, believed the word, spoke the word, and acted on the word.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost came and recreated you, made you saved, killed the old man, created a new man. Praise God. And how did that happen? Through the dia, the door, okay, of your trust, confidence, belief, reliance, assurance on God. You decided to do that. So I'm telling you that your financial need and everything else is here in the earth, where you have to do five elements to access those things.
It is crazy how many in the body of Christ are living so far below what God intended. And, you know, so often people think, well, if it's God's will, then I'll prosper. But it goes back to what you said earlier. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. If you don't know the word.
Yeah, the statement that, you know, if whatever you will be is really what you're saying. Yeah. If God really wants something, it's going to happen.
Right.
Your minister does you a disservice.
Come on.
If they lead you to believe that whatever happens or doesn't happen, it's God's fault.
Right.
And they do you a disservice if they make you believe, well, you know, if you save everything that just happened, it's kind of pie in the sky. The right. truth is in the middle.
Right.
The truth is God has promises, but that you must act upon them. And the Bible is loaded with that truth from cover to cover, Old Testament and New Testament. That's why you have a faith hall of fame. In Hebrews 11 chapter talked about Abraham, what he did, and Noah, what he did, and all the people who acted. They all got a word from God, but then they received the word. They believed it. That's why Noah built an ark, spoke and acted on it, right? And then they had it. So there's God's side and there's our side. And it's what human beings want to do. Human beings want to be lazy.
Right.
Okay. And there's two sides. You're not working for your salvation. What you're doing is following the laws. There are laws of the kingdom. There's a law of faith. It's found in Romans chapter 3. The law of faith. There's a law of righteousness. There are laws of God. They're just like natural law. And we call something law because it works over time. Law of gravity works. I don't care what you believe or don't believe. You jump off that building you're at and flap your wings, you're going to find out gravity works. There's a law of gravity. There's a law of faith. It has to be worked. There's a law of righteousness. Praise God. The scripture is very clear about these things. But unfortunately, I think preachers have not really taught what they should. And God talked about this with people in the Old Testament priests. He said, you stop teaching my people the word. And he told them the curses was coming to them. And James chapter 3 says in verse 1, be not many masters or teachers, but we receive greater condemnation. And so, as I said, don't let the preacher do you a disservice. Read the Bible. There's some things you have to believe and follow through. Praise God. And if you don't, there's no need for Satan. Satan's here to try and keep you. Why did Jesus say Satan did these things? Because Satan knows the word works if left alone and you do it.
If so he's after it.
Yeah, James 1:22. Be a doer of the word.
Yes.
Keep reading that James chapter 1. It said that man does one that does it. That man is blessed in his deeds.
Empowered to prosper. You know, yeah. One of the first things you taught me, Bishop, that I'll never forget, is you looked out of that podium and pointed your finger and you said, never believe the words of a preacher. If he or she cannot show you in the word of God, you're under no obligation to receive it.
Exactly right. I still say that, John.
So many people go to churches because of the choir. They go to churches because there's good-looking people there. They go to the churches because they have social clubs. They go to churches for all these reasons. But the purpose of the church is to teach us and feed us the word of God.
Jeremiah said, I'll send you pastors who will give you knowledge and understanding.
Yes, sir.
And if you're not getting knowledge and understanding, then you're not getting from a pastoral ministry. Here's the other thing, which I think is the biggest failure you've heard me say also for years in the body of Christ, and that's the failure of assignment. You don't just go to church or don't go to church because it's closed or you like the choir. You find out what the Lord sends you, and you go what God sends you because he has a reason for not only you, but for somebody else is why he sent you to that church. And you don't let anybody run you out of something either. When God places you somewhere, God knew before he sent you, whatever it is, that was the deal. Amen.
I'm smiling because I'm thinking about the church where you found Pastor Deborah. But we'll save that for another day. Praise God. We just got about 6 minutes left, folks. If you want to get your email in, get it in quick. I got a whole bunch of emails. We're going to hit some of these real quick. We got an email here from Amon. Amon says, what a rock star of faith. Great guest tonight. Thank you, Bishop Butler, for your love. Amen, Amon. Thank you. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Bonnie. Bonnie says, a free faith concert with Bishop Butler and Pastor Ward. No encore necessary. This is it. Praise God. Hallelujah, Bonnie. We call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Hello, Pastor. What can you tell us all of the poor children that have been found deceased at these Canadian schools. The media was not very accurate regarding it. Any thoughts? May God rest their souls. Well, Susan, we'll get into that another night. It's absolutely terrible and tragic, and there are evil people everywhere, and we're praying that the truth comes out in this and that it's dealt with appropriately. So call you blessed tonight, Susan, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Carol. Carol says, good evening, all. Thanks for your show tonight. We can put a new face to the voice. The bishop have a part-time gig as a voice actor. What a voice, Bishop. Thank you, Carol. God bless you. We call you blessed. Another email from Florida. Email from Ray. Ray says, hello, just tuned in. If you did not already, can we say a prayer for the folks in Florida whose condo collapsed and there are still people missing? What a sad thing. Can we take a moment and pray for them, Bishop?
Yes, let's do that. Father, in Jesus' name. Now, for those, if there are any survivors, we pray in Jesus' name, supernaturally, that they be found, whether it's by sniffer dogs or some other way, but that strength come into their body, yes, and that yes pull through. For the families of those who've lost loved ones, all we pray supernatural peace and comfort of the Holy Ghost with them. And we pray what Satan did for harm, that the Holy Ghost can turn and use and bless these families and see them all in heaven together for good. Oh, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And just to Susan, I believe it was, understand Jesus said about how these things happen in John 10:10. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's where the stuff comes from.
Praise God. Thank you for that. Amen. God is not our problem. He is our answer. Praise
Absolutely.
The Lord. Amen. Uh-huh. I learned that from Bishop, too. I've learned a lot from Bishop. I've been with Bishop since 2001. Praise God. And thank God for the man of God. I really, really thank God for you, sir. Another email here tonight from our friend Carol. Oh, Carol just says, praise God. That's all. Amen, Carol. You're blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Hannah. Hannah says, hello. Many prayers for those deceased children who were discovered in Canada. This is such an awful, horrendous news. Praying for all of them that have gone to heaven to be with our Lord. So, so sad. Do you want to say anything that one on, sir?
I don't really know a lot about it, John. So I
yeah.
Really
so, see. So there are these schools in Canada since the early 1900s that were the government took children out of their homes in order to train them and teach them and really deprogram them from their native culture as First Nations. And now they're finding these graves all over Canada of these children that go back 100 years. And so all of it's coming out right now, and the responsibility that the government has for having done this. So I would just say this, it is absolutely horrendous news, but we don't pray for those that have passed because they passed, but certainly praying for their families and those that are left here. The scripture tells us in Hebrews that man's appointed once unto death and then the judgment. So we don't pray for those that have died, but we certainly pray for their families and their loved ones that are left. So Hannah, we call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Todd. Todd is in Windsor. He's a faithful member of yours, Bishop. He traveled across the border to Southfield every week until the border shut down. And he says, in Mark 9, the father with the deaf mute son said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Would you expound on that? Was the father in all five steps of faith?
There is also something called the mercy of God. And we talked about earlier on in the show, Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace. And the first thing you'll find is mercy, and find grace to help you when you need it. And so we have someone who doesn't have a lot of word, but he does come to the Lord, and he says, I believe, but help my unbelief. Well, the mercy of God got involved in that. In fact, I know in my life early on, when I was a very young minister, or not even minister, when I was a young Christian, just newly born again, I had some things happen in my life. It was clearly based on the mercy of God. But the thing with people don't understand is that you're not supposed to live on mercy.
Right.
Okay. There comes a point whereby unto much is given, much is required. But this man, Jesus, showed some compassion. Notice what it said. He asked Jesus. He said in that verse 22, in that same chapter, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Mercy. That's what he got.
That's so good. So good. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for that, Todd. We call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Karen. Karen says, hello, love the show. What are the different types of sin? Thanks.
The simplest definition of sin is to miss the mark. That's what it means. So again, anytime we depart from God's way in anything, then we have sin.
Yeah.
People like to have big sins, little sins. God doesn't have big and little. Anything that misses God's mark is sin. That's what the scripture tells us.
That's good. And he says any sin that we have, if we homologia, if we confess it, then God's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us.
Absolutely. 1 John 1:9 was written to Christians.
Yes.
And we know that because chapter 2:1 says, my little children. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. Karen, thank you for that. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Just 3 more emails tonight. One from Tommy. Tommy says, now that things regarding COVID are lightening up, what about these poor pastors who went through all hell getting arrested, etc., defending their right to God? Are all these charges going to be dropped? And I hope that they sue the governments that did this harm to them. I am mad. Tommy, any thoughts on that one, Bishop?
I talked about that at the Southfield Church today.
Wow. Tell us, please.
I talked about that very thing, and I was telling people about how courageous these men were and his congregations were, how not to take freedom for granted, that even so-called democracies, if Satan gets a hold of the government, he'll use it to oppress you. Your faith can never be in government. Your faith must always be in God. Now, God's going to reward those men and women and people who stood up for him. They belong in the Faith Hall of Fame. And trust me, if I know God, he will be good on it, and he will do it. And their ministries will get bigger, and they will prosper more. But you need to do something about prayer, about your leadership. Okay, and freedom is never free. If people are not willing to stand up and fight, then you get what you get.
Wow. 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 Praise God. Tommy, thank you for that email. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Larry. Larry says, blessings, prayers to all the people hurting in the world right now with so much going on with the devil. He needs to be defeated, and prayer can do that. Thank you for that email, Larry. You want to say anything, sir?
Satan is defeated. What we have to do is enforce his defeat.
Yes. Yes.
There's a big difference. We're not trying to get the victory.
Come on.
1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory overcome the world, even our faith. We have world overcoming faith. If we operate in it, we already got victory.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that, Larry. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here today from Beth. Beth says, hi, a question for you. What is the covenant of grace?
Well, grace, of course, we know the covenant is a contract. We would say in today's language, okay, it's a contract. The big issue is, what is grace? I've said it several different times, but in your King James Bible, the Greek word, of course, for grace is a word that you'll find translated in English in your King James Bible multiple ways. Not only is it translated grace, it's translated sometimes graciousness, it's translated help, it's translated favor, it's translated a number of different words. And that word, charis, praise God, refers to, in the simplest definition, grace is the manifestation of the Holy Ghost power at your point of need. God has entered into a covenant, which is his word. Hebrews 4:16, I'll just use that one again. Mm-hmm. He said, if you come boldly to the throne of grace, it was talking about your having a great high priest, Jesus. He said, if you come boldly to the throne of grace, you will obtain mercy and then find the grace, here's its definition, to help you or assist when you need it. God's entered into a covenant with you of helping you when you need it, when you exercise faith. Ephesians 2:5, Ephesians 2:8, through faith we are sozo. That word saved, the word healed, delivered, made whole, may sound, all of that when you believe. Faith releases grace.
That's so good. So even though God knows we need help, he knows how to help us, we still have to come boldly to the throne of grace in order to get it.
Even Jesus said that. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? Yeah. Jesus said, he talked about even about fasting, he talked about prayer. He said, you still got to pray to the Father. Then he said, your Father know you have need of this before you pray.
Yes, yes.
So he said, your Father already knows, but you still got to ask.
You got to ask. Praise God.
And the same thing with my children and grandchildren. Yeah. They know I have the money, but they're going to have to ask me for it.
So now when they ask, are they wondering whether or not it's your will to give them the money?
No, they know I love them.
So when we come to God asking, we're not asking wondering whether or not it's his will. We need to go to the book and find out what has God already said in his book.
Yeah, and the Bible tells you your Father loves you and that he's provided all gifts to you. And if we had enough time, we'd walk through a whole bunch of
scriptures. I wish we
just
did.
Just to prove it.
Praise God. Well, I'm going to take one more email, and this will be the last one of the night. This is from Jason. Jason says, are the Dead Sea Scrolls actual scrolls and writings from the Bible?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not an archaeologist. Don't know.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, I do know I've been there, and I've been there with you as well in Israel. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, we know that there are different chapters of the Old Testament. One of them for sure that they found there was Isaiah chapter 53, and that had been lost for a long time. And so, yes, there are actual writings from the Bible there. They weren't original. They were rewritten by men hundreds of years ago. I knew the answer at one time, but I don't remember the name of that group. If Pastor Cheryl was on here, she would. Man, sir, Bishop, what an honor to have you with us tonight. We're finishing up the radio show for the evening, but is there any final words you'd like to say?
No, I would just like to remind your audience who's the villain and who's the savior.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus said, I've come to give you Zoe, life as God has it, and have it more abundantly. There ain't no sickness, disease, poverty, lack with God.
Amen. Please go to keithbutler.org or keithbutler.ca. You can download all Bishop's books, materials. You can get his book tonight, The Five Elements of Faith. It'll take you about a minute and you can get it. It's only $4.99. There's all kinds of other materials there. I also encourage you to sow a seed. We've been talking about that tonight. I don't normally ask for offerings on this radio show. God has really graced us and blessed us. But listen, if you don't sow a seed, as we learned tonight, it's not that it's going to hurt us, it's that you are not going to have good seed in the ground to receive that harvest. So I encourage you, go to keithbutler.org, go to keithbutler.ca, check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com, and we're going to be sowing a seed into Keith Butler Ministries in Athens, Greece, which goes to all of Europe. Right. So we'll be sowing a seed. If you want to add to that, you can do so by simply going to spiritoffaithradio.com. Praise God. Sir Bishop, man, what a privilege to have you with us tonight. My spiritual father, the founder of our churches, and just such an honor that you were with us tonight. I want to remind all of those listeners tonight that we will be back next Sunday, and I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.